Well, welcome to Law Matters for another fortnight. Jodie Hoffman with you for the next hour. And this program comes to you every second Wednesday from the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia. A wonderful opportunity for us to do this program and sort of reach important information out to our communities throughout the state. And, of course, you can check out the program on Noongar Radio through their live streaming, or if you do miss the show, all of our programs go up onto the Aboriginal Legal Service website after broadcast, which is www.als.org.au. Important program today. We're going to be talking about the Royal Commission into Institutional Responses to Child Sexual Abuse. Now, do stay tuned. We'll have all the information that you need about why this Royal Commission was set up, who is eligible to be involved with trying to find out more about what it may offer for them. And we'll also be able to let you know what the Aboriginal Legal Service can do in terms of assisting our community members through this process. We'll be having a chat with Jeanette Dines from the Royal Commission. She's actually the CEO of the Royal Commission and will join us very shortly on the program. And later this hour, we'll chat with Paul Garzia, who is the Managing Solicitor of the ALS's Civil and Human Rights Unit. And we have a strong team of support on hand at the Aboriginal Legal Service to help people with their applications also. That's our big focus for this hour, so do stay tuned. Jodie Hoffman with you on Law Matters. Good to have your company. This is the Law Matters radio program. And joining us on the program now is Jeanette Dines. Jeanette is the Chief Executive Officer of the Royal Commission into Institutional Responses to Child Sexual Abuse. And she joins us on the line now. Jeanette, thanks for your time on Law Matters.
Thanks, Jodie.
Well, Jeanette, look, I thought it was timely to have a chat with the Royal Commission and just explain to our communities why the Royal Commission was set up and what it's for and who may be eligible to get involved with sort of telling their story. But let's start at the beginning. Why was the Royal Commission set up?
Jodie, the Royal Commission was set up because over a period of time, the community and the people of Australia had become aware that children had been abused in a whole range of different institutions over a long period of time, and we've seen, you know, there's been a lot of inquiries around the country, and they've focused just on one area or one institution, and certainly, you know, Aboriginal people are well aware that there have been very specific targeted inquiries. But what we're about is the Prime Minister saying last year, we are going to look at this on a national basis. This is going to be the highest level of inquiry that this country can do, and we're going to look at all sorts of institutions that were supposed to look after children but actually let abuse occur. So we're going to look at those institutions and try and find out how the institutions failed children and what we could do to make institutions safer for children in the future.
And we should clarify that this Royal Commission is only into institutional child sexual abuse. It's not into abuse that's occurring within the home place, is it?
That's exactly right. Our powers are limited to looking at what happened to children in institutions, which doesn't mean that the government didn't recognise and actually said that abuse within the home is actually a terrible crime, and we've got to find ways of stopping that occurring and making homes safe. But we are only actually looking at what happened in institutions.
Jeanette, are we looking at a certain period of dates that institutions are being looked into?
No, Jodie, we absolutely have no time limit. We're speaking to people. People are coming forward and telling us about things that happened 60, 70 years ago, but we're also hearing people talk about more recent experience. So there's no limit on the time.
All right. Who are the commissioners working on part of this?
So we've got six commissioners, and they've been drawn from around the country, and in particular there are two from Western Australia. We have the chair of the commission is Justice Peter McClellan, and he's an experienced Supreme Court judge. We have another judge from Victoria, Judge Coate. We have Andrew Murray and an Aboriginal woman, Helen Milroy, from WA. We have a former police commissioner from Queensland, Bob Atkinson. And from Sydney, we have Robert Fitzgerald, who has a very long history of dealing in the community services space, and most recently came from the Productivity Commission. So we cover the country well in terms of representation of commissioners, and also people who've come from quite different areas of public life being involved in the commission.
So how does a Royal Commission actually work, Jeanette? I mean, what process does it take, and how does it come across the information that is then presented at the end of it?
What we're doing, we're actually a little bit different to a lot of previous Royal Commissions, because we're doing two main things, and one aspect of what we do is a very classic formal inquiries where we take evidence from people, and it's in a courtroom style environment, and that leads to findings and recommendations, and that's a process that a lot of people would be familiar with. The second aspect of what we do, though, and it's been what we've focused on to date most strongly, is we run what are called private sessions. We offer people the chance to come forward and tell their story in a very informal environment before a commissioner, and it's really a chance for the commissioners on behalf of the country to bear witness to people's experience and their story about what happened to them and the impact it had on their life. And it's a really it was regarded when the commission was asked to do this, it was regarded as perhaps giving people who hadn't previously had a voice or an opportunity to actually tell what had happened to them. It was seen as giving that opportunity in a very safe, secure environment where people can bring a support person. We have counsellors available, and it really gives people an opportunity who don't want to necessarily pursue in any formal way anything about their experience, but want to feel that they've been able to tell someone what happened, and really know that that will be part of this Royal Commission's work. But it doesn't involve you as a person having to actually, you know, subject yourself to a formal courtroom style environment. So private sessions are a very very new and different way of a Royal Commission operating, and we're very, very pleased that there's been an overwhelming response from people coming to us who are telling their story often for the first time, but saying, I feel that this is a very worthwhile thing for me to do.
And of course, no two people are alike, Jeanette, and an incredibly painful process. And you mentioned that a lot of people telling their story for the first time, maybe 40, 50, 60 years on from that abuse occurring. The support networks in place would play a vital role in following through with those people, wouldn't they?
That's absolutely right. We're very pleased that a lot of existing support networks and groups in the community that people might already have a good, strong relationship of trust with are actually playing a big role in helping people come forward to us. And we're working quite closely across WA with a lot of Aboriginal community groups who are really performing a fantastic role in connecting members of their group and their community in with the Royal Commission and offering that support. Now, if people don't have that ability to maybe through their group be supported to come to us, we do have lots of support on hand that we can provide, and we can also help people find groups back in their community that they might follow up with. But from the time someone first contacts us, which is usually by the telephone, by ringing our 1-800 number, which is 1-800-099-340, from that moment we have counsellors who are taking those telephone calls, who can talk to people about what some of their feelings and the impact might be of them actually deciding to come forward. And if you come forward to a private session having had that initial telephone call and then a subsequent conversation with us, there will always be a counsellor on site that will talk to you before and after. And we do invite people to bring a friend or a family member or someone from their community group. So a big part of what we're doing is actually recognising that this is an incredibly difficult thing for people to do, and it takes a lot of courage, and it's very distressing for people. And we work as hard as we can to help people feel secure and safe in coming forward, and to make sure that they're okay after they do that.
This is Law Matters on Noongar Radio, and I'm talking with Jeanette Dines, the CEO of the Royal Commission into Institutional Responses to Child Sexual Abuse. Jeanette, it's obviously a Royal Commission that is for all people in Australia, not just Aboriginal people, but I guess that there will be many Aboriginal people who were affected with abuse as a child through being forcibly removed from families and placed into institutions. Here in Western Australia, we had the Redress WA scheme. Now, that was an incredibly painful process for people to come forward and tell their story. What happens with people who have already had to endure telling that story for Redress WA? Does that get taken into account for something like this Royal Commission, or do they have to go through it again?
It's absolutely right, Jodie. That gets taken into account. We are working very hard with all of the states and territories where previous inquiries have occurred, and we absolutely guarantee people that we won't put you to the pain and the trouble of telling your story again if we can make arrangements, which most often we can with another inquiry. Sometimes people are saying, well, there was a statement, and is it okay if I just send that in to you, but I don't want to talk anymore. So certainly we really are making it a priority to make sure that we don't duplicate or repeat what's been done by other inquiries, that we really take the best of that, and that we don't put people to the pain of telling their story. But some people are saying to us, well, you know, this feels bigger than the inquiry I was part of. This is national. This is, you know, the Prime Minister said this would happen, and this is an Australia-wide thing, and, you know, I have told my story, but I want to come and tell it again, and I want to sit and talk to a commissioner and have somebody, you know, of that, you know, status in the community listen to me. So it's really an individual's choice as to what their preference is, whether they would like an opportunity to be heard again, but if not, then that's not a problem.
I guess there's no way of actually gaining accurate idea of how many people have been affected by abuse as a child within institutions, but can you tell me what sort of response you have had from the public in coming forward since this commission was announced? Back when was it?
The commission was actually announced in January, and the commissioners came on board in February. Our call centres that are staffed by trained people actually got up and running in April, and since then we've had around 4,500 people contact us, and some of those people want to then go on and have a private session. Some people decide to send us in writing or just have us take down something about their experience. But really, in under 6 months operation, you know, close to 4,500 people coming forward is an amazing response, and it does make us realise that there are significantly more people who were affected by child child sexual abuse in an institution than perhaps anybody has ever thought before.
It's tragic, isn't it?
It is absolutely tragic.
Jeanette, I know that here in Western Australia, the commissioners have already been to Geraldton and also to the Kimberley just in the last few weeks. What was happening in both of those centres?
Of those centres, we were, I guess, doing really doing some initial work, trying to connect and link in with a lot of the community organisations, Aboriginal organisations, and support groups, and people involved in health services. And that was has been part for us of really trying to make sure that the community has lots of information about the options that are open to people who might be thinking about coming and engaging with the Royal Commission, and we will be back in those areas over the next few months and indeed over the next year. And ultimately, I guess what we're trying to do is through those groups find people who do want to come forward and tell their story, and make sure that they're supported and that they feel they know as much about the process as they need to make that decision to come forward. So it was really about the start of a process of making sure communities across WA are very well informed, and that we can work closely with some of the strong networks that are in place, where people already have a good supportive, trusting relationship with a group, because we don't want to duplicate those networks. We just want to make sure that all people in WA, and in particular Aboriginal people who might find this more difficult, have a voice.
We've got some very remote areas in Western Australia, and I guess that's going to geographically make it difficult for some people to be able to tell their story or to be assisted through that process. Is there any assistance that the Commission offers for people in that scenario?
What we do for people who are in a remote area is talk about the most convenient location they might be able to come to if they do want to speak to us face-to-face. And in that situation, yes, we can help people with the costs of travelling to that location where the commission will be. What we usually try to do is have a group of, you know, at least 20 to 30 people ready in a particular region to come and tell their story before I will move a commissioner there and have the resources there for those private sessions to happen. But what we actively do is look at how we can effectively cover the country and efficiently use the resources that we've got to give everyone a chance to come and engage at a time and in a location that is comfortable for them.
I guess, Jeanette, a lot of people listening to this interview may be thinking, okay, it's a Royal Commission, it's into institutional responses to child sexual abuse. Okay, if I go forward and tell my story, what happens with that? What's the outcome of that? What's the final result going to be from the Royal Commission? What process does it take once people actually do have the courage to come forward and tell their story?
If people come forward and tell their story, we guarantee that if they don't want to take their matter any further, that everything they say will be kept confidential by us. So some people say to us, I would be happy to come to a formal public hearing, and some people might be asked to do that. Nobody would be asked to do that who didn't want to do that. Anyone who wants to just come and tell their story and say, thank you for listening, but I don't want anything more to do in this process, we absolutely respect that decision. So we guarantee people that coming and telling your story ends when you finish telling your story. What we do with the content of people's stories, though, is it really does inform the commissioner's understanding of the breadth and the depth of this problem across the country, and helps them to start to think about ways as well that institutions could have made the institutions safer, could have prevented abuse occurring. So whilst everything that a person says in a private session is kept confidential, nobody's name would appear in a report, but it is very much a part of the process that supports the work that the Commission will do when it makes findings and recommendations about how can governments, how can the community, how can institutions, how can the law support making institutions child safe.
Will it lead to any criminal charges being laid against the perpetrators?
The Royal Commission itself doesn't have the power to lay criminal charges, but we certainly have the power to refer matters onto police for investigation, and that has occurred on a number of occasions already. The commissioners would always as well refer a matter if they believe that someone was at current risk of harm, then they certainly would refer that matter on. Some people have, as a result of speaking to the commission, you know, made the decision themselves that they will actually now go and make a formal complaint. So that can also occur as well.
And will people be eligible for compensation from coming forward and telling their own stories of abuse?
The Royal Commission itself doesn't have the power to award individual amounts of compensation, but one of the things that we've been asked to look at is that issue of redress generally. So to talk about how have institutions responded previously in terms of compensation when abuse has been identified, and has that been fair and appropriate, and are there different ways that could be looked at in terms of compensating victims. But we don't look at individual cases per se and decide amounts of compensation.
So I guess a key part of this Royal Commission is looking at best practice for the future and making sure that none of that abuse can occur again to any child in any sort of institution.
That's absolutely right. The big value over the long term in what we can do, in addition to enabling people around the country to be heard about what happened to them, the big value is about looking on a national basis and across all sorts of institutions, whether they're schools, sporting organisations, religious institutions, and saying, how could you make that place safer? How could you make sure the system didn't let children down? And that is something that has the capacity to provide very positive solutions for the future.
Look, we thank you for your time on the program, Jeanette, and we will touch base with the Commission over the coming months just to remind people that it is up and running, and to remind people when you're coming to here in Western Australia to different centres around the state. But is there a close-off date for the Royal Commission at this stage?
At this stage, the Royal Commission has been asked to conclude its work in 3 years. So at the end of December 2015, we'll provide an interim report to government by the 30th of June 2014. But particularly the aspect of hearing people's stories, people coming forward and telling a commissioner about what happened to them, that will be open to people right throughout the entire life of the Royal Commission. So people certainly have time to give good thought to whether they want to come forward, and we'll be back in WA as many times as it takes over the next couple of years to hear people's stories. So the opportunity is going to be open for a good couple of years.
And obviously we've got a federal election looming around the corner next week. In fact, the Commission will march on regardless of the outcome of that.
Absolutely, that's right.
All right, Jeanette, thank you for your time on Noongar Radio, and we look forward to chatting with you again in the future.
Thanks,
about the Royal Commission. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, Jeanette, before you go, we better give the number if people want more information.
Thank you. The number is 1-800-009-340.
All right, Jeanette Dines, thanks for your time on Law Matters.
Thanks, Jodie.
Jeanette is the Chief Executive Officer of the Royal Commission into Institutional Responses to Child Sexual Abuse. And hopefully that gave you a bit more of an insight into the Commission, why it's been set up. And I guess it's, at the end of the day, an individual sort of decision on whether you do decide to take part in that Commission or not. But do hang on to that number, and we'll remind you of all of that anyway. Very frequently here on the Law Matters program. Jodie Hoffman with you this hour. Stay tuned. In a couple of moments, going to be having a chat with Paul Garzia. Paul is the Managing Solicitor of the Civil and Human Rights Unit at the ALS office down in Perth. And Paul will be letting us know what support the Aboriginal Legal Service can provide for people who do want to take part in that Royal Commission. Stay tuned. This is Law Matters. Jodie Hoffman with you, and with me in the studio is Paul Garzia. Paul is the Managing Solicitor of the ALS's Civil and Human Rights Unit, and he joins us on the program, not for the first time, but welcome back, Paul. How are you going?
Good, Jodie. How's yourself?
I'm very good. But look, a serious nature of our discussions today, and you've been in the studio while we've been talking with Jeanette Dines from the Royal Commission into Institutional Responses to Child Sexual Abuse, and working with our community members through this process is a really important area of work that the civil unit will immerse itself in again, isn't it?
That's correct, Jodie. The Royal Commission, as we've just had a very informative talk from Jeanette Dines, and to the risk of repeating myself, or repeating what she said, Royal Commission into Institutional Responses into Child Sexual Abuse is about people having a chance to tell their story about sexual abuse that they suffered whilst they were in care in institutions whilst they were children. Now, as Jeanette said, she said that before, it's a chance for them to tell their stories. It's not so much a chance to seek compensation, although Redress WA was a scheme that was involved, as you would remember, in people being able to seek compensation. It was a very painful process for those people to go through in telling their story. And what I liked about what Jeanette said is that statements from Redress WA can be used in this inquiry if people want to tell their story in writing. But what the Commission's talking about here are institutions such as missions, high school hostels, or any other institutions or agencies that were responsible for the care of children. And as she said, back 60, 70 years ago, and there's no time limit on people being able to tell their stories, which is good. Mm. We've already had, obviously, the redress scheme, and that closed a while back now. And I don't know of the numbers of applications that we'd received, but they were certainly extensive number of applications submitted to that scheme. Now, under redress, people could get compensation for their abuse in care. The Royal Commission's not about that as such. It's about them. Some people might not have come forward. Some people might have missed out on the redress scheme and want to still, I suppose, share their story, get their story off their chest. And they can do that. Now, telling their story of the Royal Commission would be possibly a useful thing for a lot of people. And obviously, as Jeanette has mentioned, there are a lot of supports available in helping them do that. There are there's a number of ways in which they can tell their story, and one of those is by telephone to the Royal Commission or to a Royal Commission officer. The information won't be taken as evidence, but it'll help the Royal Commission to enable it to conduct its inquiry. Another method is in the private sessions, as Jeanette talked about. People can ask for a private session. In those sessions, there'll be one or two commissioners. It's not as formal as a court room, not formal like court procedure. And in a private session, people can take a support person with them.
Paul, a lot of people would have heard us talking with Jeanette Dines a few minutes ago, and for some people, the first call that they'll make may be to the Aboriginal Legal Service say, look, I did do a statement for redress. I did put an application in for that. How can you help me? What is set up at the Aboriginal Legal Service to help community members who want to take that step?
All right. Community members are welcome to come and see us at the Civil and Human Rights Unit to access their statements, and we can actually help them with that. We'll get authorities or their permission, written permission, to send those statements off on their behalf if they wish to do so. People can also come in and tell their story and have that put to the Commission in writing. They can request a private session, but in all of this, they don't have to worry, because they should come and see us if they want to do this, because we can tell them the ins and outs, so to speak, of the whole process. We can tell them about, you know, what's involved in a private session, and then what happens at a public hearing, for example. That's more formal, and that's where evidence is given. And, you know, we can actually facilitate them providing those redress statements that they've already provided. They don't have to go through the whole thing again. They can simply come and see us, and we can help with that.
So ALS would welcome inquiries from, I guess, two groups of people. One that have already done a statement for the now closed Redress WA scheme,
yep,
or those who didn't come forward with that but would like to tell their story for this Royal Commission. Are we working with regional areas on providing this assistance, or I guess anyone can ring us with our toll-free number anyway, but is there country assistance set up from the ALS?
Look, we're going to look into that, Jodie, but there's certainly people welcome to ring from the country, and there will be assistance provided. We've just started our... we're ramping up and we're starting our first regional visit. Next week, one of our solicitors, Sarush, and our community legal education officer, Betty Campbell, they're going out to the East Kimberley, and we're going to be able to take instructions in these matters as well, and all matters like such as discrimination and other matters that our unit practices in.
Okay. We'll give that free call number out for you. It's 1-800-019-900. That will get you through to the Aboriginal Legal Service. So, of course, that can be for inquiries about the Royal Commission. It can be for inquiries about a forthcoming court case. It can be inquiries about getting some of our pamphlets sent out to you. Absolutely anything. And just ring that number, 1-800-019-900, for any inquiries you have of the Aboriginal Legal Service. We'll give you the Royal Commission number at the end of this program. But, Paul, how important have you noticed that it is that people feel comfortable enough to perhaps, you know, come to the Aboriginal Legal Service and seek our assistance in going through something so important?
Jodie, it's extraordinarily important, and what some people are too ashamed to come forward and give their experiences, or, for example, come to us with a legal problem. And my invitation to people is, don't be ashamed. Come in, see us. Even if it's nothing that we can necessarily help with, we can always talk to them about it, refer them on when necessary. When it's a matter that we can help in, we can help. So, you know, people shouldn't be scared. They should just, you know, feel free to contact us.
And absolutely no reason to feel ashamed at all. No. You know, where wrongs have been done in the past against people, to get those addressed, to make sure that those tragic, awful things don't happen again to people in the future, is really, really important. Strong civil unit, Paul, a really dedicated group of you guys operating out of Perth. I think that the civil unit is really special, because you've got very great staff on hand that are there to lend a hand, hey?
Yeah, we've got a great team, and we're always willing to help people. We take all sorts of inquiries. We're never worried, you know, about speaking to people about anything, and equally they shouldn't be worried about coming to us with very sensitive matters such as this Royal Commission.
Okay, and also, you know, if you want any questions answered, you might think, oh, it's only a little thing, you know, I don't want to, you know, waste people's time. Look, nothing's too little to ring us up and say, look, I don't understand this, or how do I find out about this? Because if it's something that's troubling you and you think that we can assist with that, that's really why we are there. It's not, you know, the Aboriginal Legal Services is not just, you know, going to court each day and representing people. It's much broader than that. It's human rights. It's advocating on behalf of people. It's referring you on to other agencies that may be able to assist in your own circumstances. It is the criminal court appearances itself, but it's also community legal education. It's ensuring our information is getting out there to our community members and making sure that at the end of the day you've been assisted in whatever ways you need to. So do keep us in mind for that. I'm expecting a pretty busy time for the civil unit with regards to this Royal Commission, Paul, and I imagine it's something that you're all going to be working very, very tirelessly on.
We will, Jody, but we do have some funding to be able to deal with that and employ a couple of staff members to help us out.
How important is it that the extra assistance that does offer itself to the Aboriginal Legal Service for things like this? I know that in the past we've been greatly assisted by law firms on a pro bono basis. I mean, a lot of the work couldn't get done with the workload without that assistance, could it?
Absolutely not. We have some great supports in our big pro bono law firms that help us out, such as Ashurst, Cause Chambers, Westgarth, Lavin Legal, who of course headed up the Collard Stolen Generations case. We have Allens, Linklaters, who have helped us out and continue to help us. And I apologise to any of the firms if I've failed to mention any, but we do have a very strong support.
You know who you are.
DLA Piper, for example.
Yeah, no, it's incredible. And I guess that there's so much goodwill out in the community, and there's so many people who believe in the work that the Aboriginal Legal Service is doing. They believe in righting the wrongs of the past and working together for social justice in this state. It's a great thing, isn't it?
It's fantastic, and we couldn't do without them.
Okay, I'm speaking with Paul Garzia, Managing Solicitor of the Aboriginal Legal Service Civil Unit down in Perth. We're going to have a short song and come back with Paul just to talk about some other work of the unit in a moment. Here on Noongar Radio 100.9 FM, just to let you know, if you haven't already heard about it, and I'm sure you have here on Noongar Radio, that this year marks the 30th year since the tragic death of young John Pat, and on the 25th of September there's going to be a National Day of Action, and an event has been organised in Perth by the Deaths in Custody Watch Committee. So if you want to find out more information about that, check out their website at www.deathsincustody.org.au, or give Mark Newhouse a call on 0415 074 602. National Day of Action to Stop Aboriginal Deaths in Custody for the 30th anniversary since the tragic death of young John Pat in Roebourne. We're just about out of time on Law Matters, and Paul Garzia is still in the studio with me. And just before we go, Paul, I just wanted to, we were talking about other support that's available through the civil unit at the ALS, and I know that you've been working on other general matters that people can come across on a daily basis, like discrimination.
Absolutely. We've got a couple of, a number of really important discrimination matters that I won't go into specifics about, but for example, where people aren't served properly by shop owners because they're Aboriginal, we'll take that, you know, we'll take instructions on those matters, and in a lot of cases we'll take that to the Australian Human Rights Commission and then possibly onto the Federal Court and to the Equal Opportunity Commission, which is WA based, and then on to the State Administrative Tribunal when necessary. We do some criminal injuries compensation matters and some motor vehicle injury claims. We certainly do wills. Our unit also obviously incorporates the senior policy officer's work with the development of policy, community legal education, and we have a community legal education officer for that, and advocacy. But we do other matters like police complaints and prison complaints.
All right. Look, Paul, thank you for your company on the program today. If people want anything more from the Aboriginal Legal Service, more information on anything you've heard on the program today, our free call number from anywhere in WA, 1-800-019-900. Grab a pen now. I'm going to give you the number for the Royal Commission into Institutional Responses to Child Sexual Abuse. The General Inquiries number for the Royal Commission is 1-800-099-340. The Royal Commission number for General Inquiries, 1-800-099-340. If you missed that or want more information, contact your local Aboriginal Legal Service. Thank you for your company. We join you again next fortnight.